Welcome to this Tuesday's Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. In today's message, Bishop Dag will teach you some of the traits that God expects from a novice. You'll also learn what a novice must demonstrate if they want to successfully pass from inexperience to experience. Learn about the importance of faithfulness and other requirements for novices from today's teaching.
Amen. But it's time for the Word of God. And we are already spoken to by the songs, but the Lord still has a word for us yet. And I believe it's a blessed time to be revived this evening. I hope you have your Bibles. I hope you have your notebooks. Zoomers, can I see your Bibles and your notebooks? Can you pick up your Bibles, your iPads, whatever you've got? Fola, don't wave at me with your hand. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. God bless you. Amen. I believe God is about to speak to us and change us. We are being changed. How many of you are being changed by the message? Zoomers, are you being changed? Are you being transformed? Amen. And I believe tonight is going to be no different. So ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome our pastor, our prophet, our leader, Bishop Dag Heward Mills. Amen.
Father, what a blessing it is tonight. We thank you for guiding us. Send us your Holy Spirit. We receive him. Thank you for the Spirit of the Lord upon us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are getting towards the end of the novice, and I want to be moving on to the spirit of glory. The spirit of glory. Amen. But tonight, I want us to look at the requirements of a novice. The requirements of a novice. Amen. What is a novice? A novice is someone who is in danger of making mistakes out of his pride. That is what the Bible says. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Now, a novice is someone who is new to the circumstances. A person who has been received into a religious order, or someone who's been doing a job or other activity only for a short time, so he's not experienced at it. Is that not so? And then also is a newly imported slave, a newly imported, recently discovered, fashionable person from the word novus. All right? Please put away your gadgets and look at me. I don't like people looking into screens. Yeah, just put it away. Everybody, please, if you are here, respect me and put it away. Just listen to what I'm preaching, and then after you can do all the things you are doing. You can go on Facebook, Instagram, and what have you. All right? Now, what does God require from a novice? All right? And therefore, what are the things that are going to be sought for, sought from you when you come new into the ministry or to the work of God, new man? What is going to be required of you, okay, is number one, faithfulness. So when you are new, you must know that these things are going to be expected of you. So it's going to be found out from you, these things that I'm talking about tonight. God is going to find out whether you have it or not. And he's going to find a way of bringing it out or not, if it's not going to be there or not. So when you are a novice, you should get ready to be tested or examined for the presence of these things. Now, like if you meet a new lady who you want to belovedose, or a new man who you want to belovedose, you'll be wanting to know what characteristics you can elicit from the person. All right? What things you can bring out to find out more. Do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? What, do you go to school? What school do you go to? What country do you come from? What language do you speak? You know, we'll be finding out, where do you work? Can you cook? You can cook. Okay, good. You can. What can you cook? Chicken sauce or chicken stew? Bean stew or bean sauce? So you'll be looking out for certain things are required. Like you're a lady going to marry. Very few husbands will ask, can you do your what is this one? Eyebrows. Few men will ask you, can you do your eyebrows? We don't even know that it's done. We don't even know that it's artificial. Can you do lipstick? Few brothers will ask, can you do lipstick? I need somebody with lipstick. Can you wear what? Brazilian hair. We didn't know that it was artificial. Can you do this? All these we didn't know. Well, whatever. But you find out there will be some other things that will be requirements. You get it? Do you have this? Do you do this? Are you like this? Do you have these qualities? Oh, you have it. Oh, good. You can cook what? Can you cook? Yes. Washing, cooking. You can wash? You don't wash. You don't know how to wash. Can you go to the market? You don't know market. Can you live anywhere? I have one room. Can you live in one room? Can you go to church? Sometimes when you go, you belong to a church which is a little different. It's not that different, but like maybe it has some particular features. You may want to. Can you go to church from morning to evening? So that's what? The church you are going to, can you close in the evening? When you go in the morning, you can close in the evening. Churches are different. You get it? Can you go to church in a different church from your husband or your wife? Yes. How about that? Can you eat fufu? Can you pound fufu? I eat fufu. Have you heard of fufu? So things will be asked. Questions may be asked. And I mean, I'm not, for because of fine protocol, I'm not talking about certain other things which I should have actually. So after church, you can come for that list. All right? So all these, you know how to use a fork and knife, cutlery? Or it's only fingers. You know how to use fork and knife? Or five fingers? Fingers and spoon. These are the two that you know. You can hold it. All right. So what will be required? What are they going to? What is God going to try to bring out, to find out about this novice? So when you come, by the time 5 years have gone by, or 10 years have gone by, whether these things exist in you, he would have brought it out, and you'll be standing there realizing, I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have this. I have this, I have this, I have this, I have this. That's what happens. Everybody is stripped after some time. And you may not know when you come as a novice that you have entered a place where these things will be required of you. That is why when you see an older lady who's been married before, sometimes a widow, and you suggest to them marriage, they have a smile that they'll give. Me, marry. Why? I've done it once. for so many years. I know what is involved, etc. And even an older woman, you may be surprised at her response. You know, so it's because of experience. They know that they've learned how to be a maid. They've learned how to serve, to be a servant, how to be humble, how to be a sexual agent or provider. They've learned how to cook, which they didn't know. They've learned how to adapt. So many things, which they didn't know was all part of it. How not to be independent. So many things. So those things were requirements. But when you come as a novice, all you know is I know how to do my hair. I know how to do my nails. I know how to do whatever. And some mothers-in-law are very wicked. They know that their daughter knows nothing. And they are sending her just hair and dresses. Empty shell coming to manifest nonsense in the Christian context. I'm talking of Christian marriages. Yes, because we are in church. Out of Christ, out of Christianity is completely different. All these things I've said, I'll never give those examples. I'll never give this example. Not on your life. No. I'm talking of the Christian context. Yeah. The born again Christian context. Yeah. Are you there? Yeah. So, requirements. So, expect these things to be elicited from you or brought out. Number one, faithfulness. God, let a man require from us. It is required in stewards that a man should be found faithful. So faithfulness is going to be tested. Faithfulness means constantness. You are not constant when you say this, when you are here. And then when you are in another place, you say a different thing. You are not a faithful person. You are not constant. Your words are not constant. If you say certain things when I am present, then you say a different thing when I'm not in your presence. The word constant cannot be applied to you. Oh, you don't get what I'm saying? Yes. So it is required. It's one of the requirements. Forget about your talents and your gifts and your whatever. If you are not faithful and you are not constant, which means that if you are not happy about something, you say it there when the person is present. Then behind the person's back, you don't have another thing to say. But not that when the person is present, so I love you. When the person is absent, don't mind him. But all my examples are real examples. If I haven't experienced something, usually I wouldn't even know about it. Yes, you see them practically. I didn't read it in a book. Faithful, constant, regular, loyal. Loyal means stage one is what? Of an independent spirit. Not independent. That means you are part of things that are going. Not like you. Whenever I use the word independent, I always remember electrons. Do you remember that picture of things going around and the middle is what? The nucleus, the protons and the electrons are going around, isn't it? Is it correct, those of you who did physics? Yes. Yeah. You don't have one electron on its own. They are all connected to the... Is it a proton? What is in the middle? The nucleus. The neutron and the proton are in it. But you're an art student. I don't know how you can say it. It's like the sun, the moon, and the stars, the planets. They are going around the sun. Everybody has the number of days it takes to go around. Venus takes 225 days to go around the sun. Earth takes 365 days. Mercury takes about 90 days to go around the sun. So everybody is regulated and is connected to the sun. We don't just go away. If the Earth says, I'm on my own, We will become very cold just now. It will be, when we start moving this way, it will be very cold. So independent makes you cold. Yes. And what are the other words? Constant, regular, dependable. We can depend on you. Isn't it? You see, there are some people, when you depend on them, you think that it is, you see, you all imagine going on up to, the highest I've been is the building they bombed September 11th. What is it? World Trade Center. I went there one time, I was in New York, and I said, let me go to the top because I have to be there. You get it? So I went up to the top, just before they bombed it. So I was at it, not just before, but before. Yeah. Before. No, it's not there now. Huh? It's a way of speaking. Yeah, what was I talking about? Yeah, when you go up there, now there's a balcony. There wasn't a balcony there, it was glass. But there are some very tall buildings I've been in. You go out, there's a glass. I remember I was once in a building like that in Panama. You go out, there's a balcony. Then you lean on it, or you hold it, and the rest is downstairs. You get what I'm saying? And you lean on somebody. Say, I can depend on you. I can trust you. I can relax in your presence. Then it's not there. Bam! Then you are going. Just like in the films. So that is the meaning of disloyalty. It's wickedness. And so God will require you, your Christian experience in the ministry will bring out these things. And everybody who is young should listen to this, because there's nothing like staying in a ministry without being tested. Stage one, independence. Stage two is what? Offense. There's nothing like not being offended. It's a matter of time you'll be offended. I've been offended many times. If you could see me in the spirit, you see many, many, many holes in me. Many holes. Some big, some small, some wet. Some wet with blood and some brown and some even infected. All over me. You will see. You wouldn't even believe it if you could see in the spirit. Yes. And it's not every wound I talk about. I also try. I've learned that you can preach from your wounds. So I also try to avoid my wounds. And then number three, passivity. So people who have become passive, you'll be tested to see whether you'll be passive. And then number four, critical. Critical and then political. Criticizing, negative speaking, talking. We don't have that. And if you want to practice that, you have to step out to practice those things. It doesn't work here. We don't need it in the church. Do you know why we don't need it? Number one, I can tell you very simply, because we are not perfect. And nobody is claiming perfection. Nobody is claiming excellence or very goodness. So we don't need your negative what I've used. You get what I'm saying? If it's not good enough, just excuse us and then go to the good place. Because it may not even, not that it's not even good, but it's not good for you. So you don't need to be staying around where you are always provoked to say something. You get what I'm saying? There are so many churches. Even here, we have a church next door. And then another one I see is being built next to us. We have like two churches next to us here. And there's one also behind here. So we have like three or four behind the wall everywhere. Why would you come here and then say something? If you don't want to be in church till the evening, be in the church in the morning. There are many morning churches. I wouldn't understand why you would come to church here and criticize the being here in the evening. Or when you are going home, you talk about how you've been here for so late, so long. It's like madness. Go to a morning church, and there are so many churches which is 1.5 hours. Exactly 90 minutes, they time it. It's part of their church growth policy to have short services. I personally feel that those short services have destroyed the church, and I'm not interested in those type of short services. I think that has destroyed spirituality. So if you have your criticisms, you are entitled. I've been criticized all my life. All my life I've been criticized. always I excuse myself from people who criticize me. You see me making an erratic move, moving here, moving here, moving here, relocating here, going here, going here. It's always moving away from people who criticize me. Yes, I always want to be away from you. You don't like my things, I'll go away to another place. So there's no need, because nothing can flourish in the midst of negativity and disloyalty. So a novice you'll be tested to see whether you open your mouth. Yes. And politics, where you now find people who you can join with to talk and speak against who we are and what we stand for and what we are doing. You always find you and this person, you and this person and this person, you and this person and this person. You can't say, oh, I just said this. There are so many things we can't say, we just did this or we just did this. It doesn't work. So you have criticism, politics, where you and you and you, you have formed a negative club, but you are still part of the system. If they read your WhatsApp message, you'll be shocked to see the things that you can write. Meanwhile, you come and stand and you are smiling. Then deception. Deception is part of disloyalty. Somebody you can lie to, you are not loyal to the person. Once you are deceiving, you are disloyal. I'm reading to you the 7 stages of disloyalty. Independent, offense, passivity, critical, political deception, and open rebellion. Few people really become openly rebellious, but all these things are part of their things. And then execution. No form of disloyalty ends well. So the first requirement, and I'm using the word require. Every verse I'll read will have the word require. If I read a verse tonight, it has the English word require. It will be required, it will be tested from you, whether it is in you, whether they can produce that thing from you. So things that we are going through are trying to bring that thing out in us. And that's one of the reasons why we transfer people. There's some people, you just transfer them, now you see them talking like trumpets. And we will, in our church, there will be transfer. You watch and see. You see movement. Anybody who feels settled at where you are, start unsettling yourself now. I'm giving you advance information. Start unsettling yourself at wherever you are. Anybody who feels I'm settled here, this is where I am forever, start unsettling yourself from the highest to the lowest. There's nothing like this place belongs, because this church is not from... You see, I visited... this Trinity College, this their seminary, and I saw a beautiful plaque there, dedicated by a reverend minister in 1964. And we are in the year 2020, and you see the place, beautiful. It's being used for preaching, teaching pastors. It's being used to do the work of God. Since it was built and dedicated in 1964, it belongs to nobody in particular. It belongs to God and to his work. And our church belongs to nobody in particular, including me. That is why we, the senior pastors, we have handed over, we have the most senior ones, we are handed over, we have our convener, we have our new archbishop and so on. We want them and even younger people to take up the ministry. Yes. It's not for any particular person. And when Reinhard Bonnke was alive, about 15 years before he died, he handed over to this Daniel Kolenda. And he was working, even though he was alive, he was where he was moving. He would preach sometimes, he would preach this one. He handed over and he was with him for years. He was a young person. And that is how come today a very difficult to hand over thing with like crusade, very difficult to hand over, has been handed over and it's working. Because, you see, hammock people, I will sit on it and be the greatest to the end. But not we are not practicing that here. That example that I gave you, the example of Church of Pentecost, these type of examples, those are the good examples that we are following here. The church is not for anybody. We are all flowing. So if you find it difficult, you get it, to follow these things, you have to find a new church quickly. Okay? Is it good? Beautiful and fantastic. Amen. Look, no matter who you are, God is going to require, from me, He's going to require me not to be independent. Number two, He's going to put the list up over there again. He's going to require me not to be offended. I can easily be offended. There are so many things that can offend me. He's going to require me not to be passive. I can become cool. When I see your trouble, I say, oh. The Lord be with you. The Lord is going to require me not to become critical. Because I'll criticize everything. Everybody will be some way to me. It requires me not to be political. To form groups. This group, this group, this group. I hate those things. If you want to be out of my good books, start forming groups around me. Me and this person, don't like this person, that person, and that person. And this person, that person, and that person. Don't flow with this person, that person, and that person. That's the world I don't like. I hate it. I've always hated it. That's how come I could see it and write about it in 1998. My book, Loyalty, was written in 1998. 22 years ago. This person, that person, that person. I'm not friends with this person, and that person, and that person. And that person, and that person. They don't like this person and that person. Even though they are in the same church. This sister and that sister. They don't talk with that sister. Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll also be tested with deception. To become a deceiver. To be openly rebellious. So these are loyalty. It comes to everybody. And sometimes at the end of the requirement, you see that I don't have it. What you say? What you say? what you say you don't have? It's been tested and exam happened and you see the exam is finished. That's why we sang the song, Peter, do you love me? After all that we went through, how do you say you have not seen me before? You say you don't know me. You see, so he fell flat on his face. Yeah. He didn't have it. He didn't have it. He was faithful to Peter. Jesus with big, big words. When he went out of Jesus' company and met some other people, he said, "Me, this Jesus, I don't even know why you have such people from Galilee. Me, I don't. They are disgracing Galileans. Causing a lot of trouble and so on. I've not seen him before. I heard of him, but I've not seen him. You are his number one man. Oh. You are his top man. Look at what you are saying today. Peter, do you love me? Every verse I read has the word require. Micah 6 verse 8. Number 2. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee. Novice. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Beautiful. So number two, God requires you to be just or fair. Fair. Fairness. And you will be surprised. You must be fair. You see, because in this life, there are so many opportunities to be unfair to people. What you are doing is not fair. It's not equal. It's not fair. If you do that, it's not fair. It's not. I don't know what word. Bring words. Dictionary, bring words. Equal. What you are doing doesn't balance. It's not balancing. You see, when you are above, you are dealing with people. You can treat them unfairly. I have learned, don't cheat people. I believe if somebody works, the person should be rewarded. If a person also doesn't work, the person should not just be rewarded because he has been there for a long time. I don't believe in Babieche is the basis for rewards. I've been there for years. No. Fairness. People work differently. People put in effort. People work to a certain level. People do less. People do more. People do this. People do different things. Fairness. But that's at the top. But when you are down below as a novice and you are starting, you must also be fair to the person up there. You must be fair. Like, what has the person done against you that you speak like this? That you treat the person in this way? As you are serving the person, is it a fair treatment? As you are stealing the person something, does he know? As you are cheating, so you'll be tested, and you say, but this, you've been given an opportunity. What you are saying, does it match what has happened? And you see people offended when they should not be offended, because they are not responding in an equal way as they should respond. That's why the Bible says that a man to whom repays good with evil, he repays good. It's not fair to repay good with good, but repays good with evil. Evil shall not depart from his house. So, what does the Lord require of thee to do justly? And you would think that fairness is something that will be required of you as a novice. And when you get higher, you'll be required to be fair to those down. That is why a novice must start working in every possible area, so that you even know what is it like to count money. When people are counting money, you know, if you have counted money before, you know that, look, it's not a small job to count money. But if you've never counted money before, when they count you, they just count. So, those counting money, they are over there in the room. With smelly money, filthy money, and you see them, they can be there for hours. And it doesn't add up. When you add the one CD, this one, it has to, have to spread it, iron them even. Very complex, counting coins and so many things they do. If you've never worked in an office, you've never done accounts, you'll never know what is accounts. If you've not worked on the site, you will not know. So when you see somebody working or somebody building, you not appreciate what is involved to before a door is fixed, before there's no paint around the door, before the place looks a certain way. Because you've not done it before. So you just sit somewhere and you just have a certain attitude. So you don't know how to treat everybody fairly because you don't know what everybody does. It's true, you can never be fair because you don't know much. You just say, make a video. I've used about, when were we, Dr. Ogo, tell me when we were in Gekedu. Calculate the year.
7 years.
7 years ago, I started a project to make a 30-minute video. I finished last month. And I started the project in Nzerikori Hotel. Do you remember that hotel in Nzerikori? Yes. That's when I decided to launch that project at Nzerikori. Yes. 30-minute video. First, it has been on. We have reviewed it. We have just finished. To make a video. But you don't know what is involved. So you see somebody working, say, this person is not much value. The person doesn't do much. Or to make a song. You wouldn't know what is involved to make a song. And you see them coming to stand and say, keep on singing, keep on praying, little darling, keep on. You don't know what is involved. And you appreciate the person who is singing, but you appreciate the person who is singing, but you don't realize the work of those who produce the music. Yes. That's why some of you are shocked to see other people singing, not either singing. You can see that the same songs are coming, but it's a different singer. So where is the source of the songs? Same songs. Yeah, so where is actually the real source of the songs? Yes. Because you don't know how it's produced. And you don't know the work that is involved in producing the song. And you see all the people singing. But you don't know what is involved. Because you've never worked. You see pastors who don't have ideas about music. You don't have any ideas. So sing well. Just sing well. Sing well. Sing something. Something nice. But suddenly you see that the singer is actually not more than 5 to 10% of the song. Not more than 5 to 10% of the song. Okay, produce it and see. Bring the words. Bring the words and say, you didn't go as far as you should go. You stayed where you thought you would prosper. Write it and see if you write that. Write, I've been a Christian for so many years, serving in the... Those are my words. I wrote what I have experienced. I've been a Christian for so many years. But you see, we didn't know what is involved in a song. You just look at a beautiful singer and say, wow, I want to be like that. Beautiful. But you wouldn't know. Because you are not involved in things. You are not fair. So when you are sending the prayer, when beautiful songs come, I rarely get any commendation. No one even ever sends me a message that, oh, this was a powerful song. God bless you for releasing such a powerful song. Because people don't even know that I am the one who wrote the song. Or they don't even know how I produced the song. I'm not involved. The singer will be getting praises, adulation, worship. I really like you. I know I really like you. Then they'll be saying, whoa. So the singer as well. No, but you see, even the direction of your praises is not fair. It's true. It's not just. Exactly. So then, when people die, then you start noticing all the things that the person was doing. And you say, there's no more this, there's no more this, there's no more. So all those things were from that source. So I'm just trying to say that when God gives you a chance to work, do every job in the church. Because God is going to require from you fairness. What does the Lord require of thee to do justly? That's why some of us work in the church. And the most important people who are very valuable, we don't treat them fairly. It's true. Sometimes people that help, we don't treat them fairly because we just, oh, the man of God, he is the real man of God. He's the one. But the people that are behind the scenes that are helping, you don't know because you've never worked. When you see somebody doing something, you know that he has really been helped by a lot of people. When I go for a crusade, I step at the crusade. If the crusade starts today, ends in 3 days, I may spend exactly 3 days there. I've never seen the place before and after. But somebody has been there for 3 months. So they say, evangelist so-and-so. Very powerful man of God. He came to shake the city. Shake the city? What about the man who was living there for 3 months? He left his family for 3 months. You are not fair to that person. Because your mind doesn't know the contribution of everybody. It's true. So God is going to require you to mature and be fair in your assessment of everything. Are you there? You are living. Yeah. Number two is there. Well, number three. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of thee? To do justly and to love mercy. Amen. Mercy. You are looking at me in the Zoom. Rebecca Joseph, I can see you. Milvet Nalawanga, I see you there. Beautiful. To love mercy. When you are filled with bitterness, you have no mercy. Not that even you love mercy. When you are filled with bitterness and revenge, you have no mercy. Not that you love mercy. Loving mercy is the higher level. Having mercy before you love mercy. When you are filled with hurt and bitterness, how can you say you love mercy? You see, many times a pastor comes in the place of God. You see, there are scriptures that confuse us. But there are times, you see, God told Moses, you shall be instead of God. Huh? He shall be to you instead of God, Moses. Yes. Many, many times, but especially in the matter of forgiveness, that is the time when you come in the place of God. When it comes to mercy. Because when it comes to mercy, it is only you who can forgive certain people. God can forgive them, but your ability to forgive people is what will be tested over and over and over and over again. In Matthew 22, Jesus told the story of a man who came to his master and begged his master. He said, "Master, have mercy on me. I will pay thee all." I think from about verse 18 to 35. You know, he said, "Have mercy on me. I will pay thee all." And the master forgave him. He had compassion on him and forgave him. Now this servant went out and met his fellow servant. And the fellow servant said to him, the same English words that are used to speak to God were used to speak to a human being, by a human being. And the human being was asking the fellow human being what somebody was asking the master, or what he was asking God. He was not asking the man. So the man has come in the place of God. "Have patience with me, with thee. I will pay thee all." So now the servant knelt down and begged him and said, "Have patience with me. Have patience. I will pay thee all." The same word that he used for God there a few minutes ago. So now he was not in the place of God. He was in the place of God. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me. I will pay thee all." Suddenly the fellow servant became God. Because when somebody has offended you, only you can forgive that person between you and that person. God can forgive the person, people can forgive the person, but there is your path where you are like God. And the person is asking you, "Have patience with me, I'll pay everything." Just like the other case, "I'll do the same." And the man said, "No way, no way, what you have done is too bad. What you have done is too bad. I am going to punish you till you have paid all." So the fellow servants heard him. He said he would not and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now when his fellow servants, look at it. When his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. So they now came to report to God. That God, look at what this man, who was in your shoes just a few minutes ago, look at what he's doing, how he's repaying. He's not allowing at all. Verse 32, then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, "Thou wicked servant." Oh, he said, I forgave thee all that debt. You know, sometimes when somebody forgives you, you should remember it. Oh, I forgave thee all that debt. Because what was the reason? Thou desirest me. Thou desirest me. You only desired it. You desired me to forgive you. Not that you didn't do it, though, or that you did it small or you did it less than you said. You thou desirest me. You desired from me as though I was God. Forgive me. Shouldest thou not have had compassion on thy fellow? On thy what?
Fellow.
Thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. Compassion, okay, feelings. On thy fellow, your co-equal. You, dear Charlie, when you became God, it wasn't easy in the world. There was no mercy at all. When you got small, you should see some people in their small departments. The way they command and they shout at people. It's, you see, you don't realize that we get opportunities to be God. I never knew that you can have opportunity to be God. But I see that we have opportunities to play God from time to time. Power comes to us and we are in the place of God. And we have something that only, like if this lady begs me and says, forgive me. And she has done something against me. You know, God forbid. But she has done something against me. I, not God, though. I am the one who has the power. Not God. So it's like I've suddenly become exactly where God was. I have the power. She desires me. So should I not all have compassion or feeling and say, look, based on your request, and number two, based on the feeling of compassion, I will release you. But whenever we come into the position of God, small department with three people, you see commandments, issues, I mean wickedness. Wickedness. People are happy to see you are gone. Pastors and bishops, many have not a certain compassion. Sometimes you wonder why people run away from you. Yes. Why people will not stay or give their best. Thou desirest me. You just ask, you beg me. So, I'm talking about requirements of a novice. Koolea, you see it with time. One day you see you stand in the place of God. Mr. Novice Man, why is everybody so quiet? Is there a problem? Yeah. Yeah. When you see a lady versus another lady, it's called lady squared. A lady versus another lady. Forgive me. No. No way. You see, that is where you see when this person becomes God, what he will do. Everybody has what he will do. In Chile, they had a, you know, the drugs, it actually started in Chile. Drugs. Yeah, they started, that's where they found the cocaine. And they were, I think I'm right. But what happened was that they had a leader, and Pinochet. And when he came into power, he said, no. He wiped them out. He killed all of them. Mass slaughter. He slaughtered all. But one person who's in the mass grave didn't die. And that guy came out and went to Colombia and went to teach the Colombian people, and they did the cocaine from Colombia. Yeah. But you see, I'm just trying to say we have different types of leaders. If you get a Pinochet, you are out. It's like there will be no many meetings. Do you get what I'm saying? There will be no many meetings. And some of you, when you come into power, hey! Pinochet. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee? To do justly, to love mercy. There's a song like this, eh? And to walk humbly with thy God. To walk humbly. So number three or number four is to walk humbly with thy God. Walking humbly. Humility. Coolly. By the way, you know, the other day I was teaching during a prayer time about humility, but I didn't tell you the real things about humility. Humility has been shown by research that humble people are more intelligent than proud people. Yeah. That humility is actually a form of intelligence. And they did all the exams and everything. Said the humble person, the low IQ but humble, they did better than high IQ with pride. Yeah, low IQ with humility, they were going higher than high IQ with pride. Because the humble with the low IQ, they were like, what should I do? What should I do? Teach me, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And the high IQ with pride. Research, I'm talking about secular research, not Bible. To walk humbly. Mr. Novice, it will be required of you to walk humbly. And softly and carefully. Not like Rehoboam, who came and said, my father beat you. My father's finger, it will be like my thigh. You see how my thigh is? My finger will be my thigh. When I whip you, you see, giant fingers will hold you and whip you. You must be careful. Because you whip once and the person will take the whip from you and start beating you. Because you don't know why Solomon, they allow Solomon to take money from them till he died. But when you come on the scene, they may not follow that money. That is why I'm trying to establish the denominations. And I'm trying to establish the divisions. And I'm trying to remove those of us who are the senior most, to let the younger ones control. Do you understand? To learn how to walk humbly. All the things. They have to walk humbly and people to relate humbly. Just like how Church of Pentecost, their founder is not here, James McKeown, but they are walking humbly with every chairman that is appointed. They are relating with him. You just have to be appointed or devote you in, and that's it. Everybody kowtows to you. Is it called kowtow? Kowtows to you. Kowtows. We know kowtow, please. This kowtow, we can't say it. If you can say kowtow, I can't say kowtow. Kowtow! We've changed the pronunciation. Inform Oxford Dictionary. We've changed it. Kotos. Are you listening? Yes. To walk humbly. To walk humbly. Nobody, all the people that respond to me, I say come, they come. I say go, they go. I say this one, come. I say go, they go. It may not be so with you. So when you come as a novice, you walk humbly because you don't know this person. You say stand. You say please don't wave your hand at me. When you are saying stand, don't wave your hand. I don't appreciate it. Don't speak with your hand. And you say, but I saw this man slapping you when you were flowing. Say, ah, please, it's a different thing. It's not like that. To walk humbly. When you go to your island on a mission, you walk humbly. What does the Lord require? Walk humbly with the people. It's going to take years before you achieve anything. You walk humbly on the island. Take your time in the ministry. Take your time and know that I'm nobody. I'm nobody. If God raises me, if I see the church work, it's a blessing. Today I was talking to the pastor who started a church in Ouagadougou. He was telling me, when he saw the church with thousands of people in the church, which is one of the branches, I said, yes. That's how it is. You go and you start with nothing. When you leave, you even feel like you are a failure. Later, you see the seed you planted. The church work belongs to nobody. It is something that we are all involved. This one does more. This one does more. This one does more. This one. That is all. That's how it works. You have to walk humbly and know that all that you are doing is nothing. Solomon was humble when he built the temple. He said, "Oh Lord, you have made heaven and earth. How can you stay in this small building?" Meanwhile, it was a very glorious building. There was no one who was as glorious as Solomon. Yeah, that's Ouagadougou. Show Ouagadougou. This is a Ouagadougou church. Yes. Huge. Yeah. Ouagadougou. Burkina Faso. Show it again. You see now? A seed is planted. Somebody waters. Another waters. Look at the building. For us to be here, somebody has to build the church. Somebody has to bring money. Somebody has to do this. Somebody has to go there. Somebody has to leave his family. Beautiful. Show the thing again. Why are you tired of showing a nice thing? See me after church. It's working on you. Beautiful. Huh? Small. To walk humbly. You don't have to be angry if nothing is working. Amen? You don't have to be angry because God requires of you to walk humbly before the Lord. Knowing that what? Your part is a very small part, Mr. Big Staff. Mr. what?
Big Staff.
You are actually Mr. Small Staff. You are doing something small in a big picture. Are you not happy to be in part of a something small? Beautiful. Amazing. Do you like Micah 6:8? Sing it.
He has shown thee, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. He has shown thee.
Beautiful.
Oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. But to do justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with the Lord. But to love mercy and to do justly and to walk humbly with the Lord.
You're on a different key. All right? You can't force her. People want to force people, you know? You see, when you are not in work in every department, you don't know. You cannot be fair. Yes. You don't know what somebody is doing wrong. It's not a singer's fault. Requirements. Are you happy to hear all these requirements? Don't be angry with the message. I didn't create the Bible. Number. Choose your number. Number 5. God requires things of the past. Ecclesiastes 3. That which has been, verse 15, is now. And that which is to be has already been. And God requires that which is past. Amen. God requires what? That which is past. Amen. Now, God requires beautiful things that have been done in the past to be done again. There is nothing that I'm doing that is new. Somebody even made a comment about our preaching. Your pastor is not preaching new things. He's preaching rather what the old people preached. Is that not what he said? What did he say? Say it, what he said.
He said your father,
I mean, don't mention him, but like...
He's a minister. He's an American minister. He's not in our church. He's a white minister in America.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that when he listens to you, you are not preaching anything new. It's just that no one preaches those things anymore. But you are preaching what the old fathers used to preach, like Oral Roberts and Catherine Coleman and those people. It's not new. It's just the old things which are being preached again. So it sounds different today because it's not preached much today.
Are you not ashamed? Are you not ashamed? You see? It's good, a good message. I don't mean you. I mean you know the one I'm talking about. Yeah. God requires that which is past. Many times the requirement is, you see this book? What it means to be a shepherd, God requires it today. That's why I see when I read it, you are surprised that I'm reading the book. God requires it. All this loyalty, mega church, and so on. God requires these messages and these teachings and these camp meetings. Step by step, God requires that which is past. True. When a novice comes, he comes and say, I came with something. The Spirit has spoken to me. Thank God. Read your Bible. God requires that which is past. Even as the Spirit is speaking to you. You know, don't frighten us with the Spirit. You know, one time I was talking to a brother. I said, oh, so how is it? Are you happy to be around? I said, the Spirit has told me to stay here for now. So, what do you mean? So he asked me to stay like now, this next few months. I said, I thought you were here. I thought you had come. You were here to stay. So the Spirit has asked me to stay for now. So then I said, if the Spirit tells me something new, I'll come to you. I'll tell you. You know? Now I said, if I also come every few days, the Spirit has told me I shouldn't sack you for now. The Spirit has told me that I should keep you for now. The Spirit has told me I shouldn't sack you from now. Will you be stable? Nobody will be stable. So don't try to destabilize our mind using the Holy Spirit as a care-off for your erratic behavior. Yes. The Holy Spirit does not destroy what he's building. You don't join to build something for years, then later you join to bring it down or to destroy it. I mean, are you mad? You must be something wrong with you mentally. You get up, you build blocks, you put them on, get to the lintel. Then the next week you come to remove all. Then the week after you come to build all. Then the next week you come to put all down. Ah. Is it not a mental problem? What are you doing? So I'm building, I'm destroying, I build for 3 weeks, I destroy for 2 weeks. I build for 3 weeks, I destroy for 2 weeks. How do you build up something and you, the same person, help to destroy it? What is wrong with you? Galatians 4 says, if I build that which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. If I pull down what I help to build, I make myself a transgressor. Amen. Are you there? Yes. If you build and you destroy, you make yourself a sinner. So all those who have their mind, I'm destroying you. And meanwhile, the same person helped to build it. What are you? God requires that which is past. That I can't find anything. What I'm preaching, not a novice. I preach it at a camp. Although not like this. This one is a little more. But it's still called not a novice. It's past, but it's relevant. I'm preaching that which is past in the earlier services. Visitation. God requires that which is past. He's requiring it. And today when I preach about visitation, you see that visiting is the beginning of ministry. It's when you stand in somebody's heart, in somebody's dark room, in somebody's situation, and you are ministering to the person. You have begun your ministry because you rose up and you traveled and you ministered and you preached and you touched somebody's life. That's ministry. And God requires that. There is nothing that we had from the beginning that God does not require. God requires us to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except he comes through me. God requires us to repeat John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God requires us to pray. He will require the same prayer meetings that we had at Kolegono and other places. He requires that which is past. If you want to know what to do, go to the past. Go to the past. Go to the past. Go to the past. And you see. And God will give you the grace to fish out from the dark, from the past, and to bring it freshly into the present. It's true. That's why we sing these beautiful songs. If my people. It's an old song. But just a little freshened up. Or what is the other one called? Lo, I tell you a mystery. It's an old song. But a little spice up. Yes. Beautiful. God requires that which is past. Never think you can graduate from that which is past. Yesterday, I was in a Catholic church at a funeral. And I was listening to the priest. And I realized that, look, Christianity is one and the same thing. Jesus Christ died for us. His blood washes us. The same things that we believe. True. True. He requires that which is past. You can't graduate away from the past. You can go further. I don't know how, but somehow you can go further in that which is past and always be anointed and fresh. I said I was going to talk to you about the spirit of glory. Ish. Spirit of glory of God. Amen. Beautiful. So, brothers and sisters, God requires that which is past. And I know that he's touching your life in a special way. Stand to your feet. I don't want to continue. This lady has already stood at Dami Matiluko. She stood up already. So I'm going to close with her. Yeah. She's sitting down again. Requirements of a novice. How many points did I give you? Only 5. Deuteronomy 10 verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? Are you surprised to hear that word require? How many are surprised that the word requirement is in the Bible? The Lord thy God doth require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Shamado katabalaba bandalaba. God requires your love. It requires your love. Number 5. Number 6. God requires you to walk in his ways. Look at it. The Lord thy God requires thee to walk in his ways. What are his ways? His ways of mercy. His ways of love. His ways of forgiveness. The word that is used for God, for mercy, is recham. Is it recham? Recham, it means your womb. You know, when something comes from your womb, the feeling you have for it, that is mercy. It's called recham. It's the Hebrew word from the womb. It came from you, so you have mercy on it. God has mercy. It is easier to have mercy on your child than somebody who's not your child. You just say, you know something? Sign your letter and then thank you. It's been a pleasure. It's been a what?
Pleasure.
Pleasure. Goodbye. Good night. Recham from your womb. To walk in his ways. The God of all mercies. Are you there?
Yes.
Yes. And to fear the Lord thy God. That is number 7. To fear him. You see, when you fear man, that's why you hide before man and you treat man this way. But when you fear God, when you are out of the presence of man because of God, you behave in the right way. People who don't fear God, they are people who, when certain people are not there, then they change. Because they don't fear God. Because they don't realize that God came with you to everywhere you are going. God hears everything you say. When Miriam spoke against Moses, the Bible says, and the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. Numbers 13, the Lord heard it. When the woman, what is she called? The woman with the Syrophoenician woman. When she came to Jesus, I said, I am a dog. He said, for this saying, this thing you said, this. When the children of Israel said that, you brought us to dry us out and kill us in the wilderness, God had said, me, pa, is that what you say? Me that I was taking you to milk and honey, is that what you say about me? Ah, it pained God too much. That thing that they said about cucumbers and lettuce and other things, it pained him. He said, look, you, all of you, that your children who you said have brought you to kill your children, they will be the ones, 20 and below, they are the ones who will go to the promised land. It pains God power when he hears certain comments that we make. Bible said the people murmured in their tents. So fearing God, it's like, Charlie, be careful because of God, not because of people. You are doing too many things because of people. What the Lord doth require of thee is to fear God, not man. Don't worry about what you are saying. Think of God. I see people don't fear God. They don't really believe God is there. All the people that beat Jesus. I mean, you... When you are beating him, when the person says, ah, somebody should have told him, but you don't think man is a pastor. Pah, pah. Chale, me this one there. Chale, how can you do that? He's a man of God. Oh. Last time he was preaching. Pah, pah, pah. You can't do that. Nobody there feared God. None of the people there feared God. That's why they slap him and they spat on him. None of them feared God. They felt they were in the company of soldiers. God was watching them. Jesus said, forgive them. And God is full of all these mixtures. Forgiveness and judgment. It's all mixed up. Fearing God would have made Pontius Pilate say that whether Caesar or no Caesar, this man is not a bad man. And it's when I am the king, when I am here in charge, it will not happen. It will not happen. Discharge him now. Here, 2 security guards, come. Accompany him to the house. Once I, Pontius, am here, nothing like this is going to come on under my reign. Maybe somebody else. Maybe someone else can come and preside over this place. Whilst I'm here, injustice will not come on. I fear God. That would have been the end of it. The soldiers who were beating him, whipping him, they said, we should whip a good person. We don't like our children. We don't like our grandchildren. We don't fear God. I fear God. I beg you, please. You don't want to beat him, a pastor. Beat him yourself. People don't fear God. That's why they do that. They think God is not there. If you fear God, you start thinking. You stop committing the sins you are committing. Because you know that God is standing right there. You know, the other day I was praying. Then suddenly, you know, I was sitting on my chair. Then suddenly I saw like a big man sitting on a cushion. Look, this is my chair. I usually have a little cushion I put my leg on. Then I saw there was a big man sitting in the chair. So it's been happening. I said, and he was taller, not an oval size, bigger. And I was sitting down. I was, it's like somebody very close to me and he was talking to me. But you think there's nobody there. You think there's nobody there. One night, outside my house, I saw an armored car, huge one. It was outside my gate, outside on the street. It was parked outside because we didn't come inside. Angels. Oh, yes. Angels. They encamp around them that fear the Lord. Beautiful. He was sitting in the chair talking to me. I'll talk to you about the spirit of glory. Yes. What does the Lord require of thee? To walk with thy God. To walk with thy God. To love mercy. To walk humbly. To love him. To fear God. Serving God is some of what somebody is seeing. People approve of you. Good, good. You are good. You are good. You are good. You are good. And so what? People can say, if you know, we battle in the midst of stories. We battle in the midst of wild fables and wild lies and unbelievable stories. We battle. That is the climate and the environment of ministry. It's the environment of spiritual warfare. We are in the midst of people that don't fear God, but who would taste that God is real, that God was there. Watch it and see. What does the Lord require of thee? What does he require of thee, O man? To fear the Lord. To walk in his ways. In his ways. To love him. And to serve God. To serve God from your heart, not for money. To serve God from your heart. Does he require of thee? When you come and you start, you see it. All these will be tested to see that it came from your heart. If it came from something else, it will be seen. It's a matter of time. Are you still around?
Yes.
To serve him. Look at it. Deuteronomy 10. That the Lord doth thy God doth require. To fear. To fear. Oh, I can't do this. Like Joseph said, I should sleep with you. I can't do it. I fear not. No. I can't do it. I fear God. God is seeing me. I can't do it. To walk in his ways. His ways. His ways. The ways of God. To love him. To serve him with thy heart. The service is from your heart. The preaching is from your heart. The preaching is from your heart. The service to God is from your heart. To serve the Lord thy God. And with all thy soul, thy feelings. That's what God does require. Who wants somebody without feelings? Pray for all those who are married to people without feelings. Give me somebody who has feelings. Thy soul serve the Lord. Are you listening?
Yes.
And finally, the Lord requires to keep the commandments of God. Beautiful. What he tells you is going to require from you. What I told you, do it. Just do it. Stop talking. Just do it. Then it shows that you fear him. When he gives you a dream and a vision, when he shows you a vision of a bridge, crossing dangerous waters, going across the sea, wooden planks, and you are crossing dangerous waters, and you are walking all alone, and there's raging waves around, and you are in the middle, and as you go, you disappear into the mist. You disappear into danger. And he says, that's where I want you to be. If you love him and you serve him and you fear him, you'll keep walking on that bridge. And you go even though you know you are the only man on that bridge. You are the only one in the mist and the waters and the sprays and the darkness and the fear all around you. You go there because you love him. Because you fear him. Because he requires it of you to walk in his ways and to serve him from your heart. He requires from you, my friend. He requires from you. What he says, what he gives you to do, you walk there. You'll be there. If it's only you, if it's only you, you'll be there. If no one came with you and no one helped you and no one stood with you, you'll be there because you love him. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee. May God help you. May God help us. What he requires of us, that we will provide it as novices and as servants of the Lord. Every standing. Father, thank you for the blessing of your holy word. We give you praise. Just lift your hands right now. He has showed thee. Micah 6 verse 8. He has showed thee. He has showed thee. Oh man, what is good? And what doth the Lord require of thee? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly.
He has shown thee, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. He has shown thee, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with the Lord.
He has shown thee.
He has shown thee, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. Has shown thee, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with the Lord.
Father, thank you for the requirements of a novice. We yield to them and we say, take our lives. Let us humbly walk in your will and in your presence and give ourselves over to all these requirements to serve you and to follow you humbly. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are here and you want to give your life to Jesus, just say this prayer with me. I want to be born again. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me. Make me a new person. I give my life to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saving me today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Blessing. Amen. take your special offering tonight and say, Lord, you don't need anything from me. You see what God has said, what the Lord required? No money was mentioned. It's the least you can do. But tonight, I want everybody to open your heart. And I'm going to let this offering be a prayer. The Bible says the prayers of Cornelius came up before the Lord and his arms. So take your prayer, take your offering and hold it. Don't send it yet. I'm going to pray with you. I want you to give a special requirements offering. Lord, I see you require a lot from me. Jesus. Kalomo kataraba. Sangina mahumbi handa mahasbanogari. You require of me to walk humbly. You require of me mercy. You require of me to walk in your ways. You require of me what is in the past. You require from me your love. You require me to fear you. To fear you. Not to fear man. To fear you. Changa umbo kandala magola. Taringo atara maloba rabasakata. Father, as I pick this offering, I beg you with this offering, Lord. Grant me mercies and grace that I might fulfill your will and your calling. Mango asando alamana. By presenting you all these requirements to walk humbly before you, to be reliable, to be faithful, to be constant. Thank you, Jesus Christ. We give you praise. Lord, now everybody lift your hand and pray for 15 years opportunity to present all these requirements to the Lord over the next 15 years. That out of you will be seen faithfulness, to be just, fair, to love mercy. God will see that you walk humbly. You see that you have provided what is in the past. You have seen that God has given your love. You have given your love. You have walked in his ways. 15 years to walk in his ways. To fear him for 15 more years. To serve him from your heart for 15 more years and to keep his commandments for another 15 years. If God can do this for you today and can help you to be faithful, to be fair, to be merciful, to be humble, to do that which is in the past, to love him, to walk in his way, to fear him, to serve him from your heart and to keep his commandment. Father, we pray and present to you our sacrifice and we say, Lord, let it be that our prayer and our cry will come up unto thee and that you answer our prayer and our cry today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. 15 years, Lord, a chance to prove it all. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Send your offering now. Send your offering right away. Beautiful. God is giving you this opportunity. And I know all of us, especially the older ones, whom you thought is all over, but God is giving a chance. 15 years by this prayer and this offering. This offering is a special request. It's a special request. Give this offering as a special request that, Lord, I am asking you for 15 years to prove these 10 things that is required of a novice. Assuming that you are starting from today. Shambo kalamba tamura mandebele beketes. Taranga paradobele. Send this offering as a special request. God requires that which is past. If God will peradventure grant another 15 years lease to demonstrate from our hearts fear and love, mercy, to walk humbly, to walk in his ways, in his way of doing things. in God's ways, to fear Him. Oh, Karamando Samaranda, Shembere Manama Kabasandala. Father, we thank you as we present our special request with a special sacrifice. We give our sacrifices to thee, sacrifices of requests before your throne, Jesus. Grant us again a chance to serve you. Manga tamarongo sapara bashambara makata sabanda lada. Agalo satakaba. Shimbe katamala. Mangrista umba armalige deshe. Shigato sakaga kruma tande kukana. Poke kalabasha. Paromba keteba sambalabada. To God be the glory for great things He has done. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with this opportunity and this great gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.